that and think I was going to get high. But you know what? I'm coming to realize that it's hard to worship God and not get high. And to mess up your dude. I know some of y'all ain't risking messing up your head. Because you ain't moving. Some of y'all sure ain't got to worry about no makeup, right? Because you ain't going to not sitting there like a bum on the lawn. But I don't know about you. God get mighty high. I got to get high and sweaty. I don't mind getting high and sweaty for the Lord. Because I got just one God. And ain't you free?
Marriage of the Bible.
Now, most people who preach from the perspective of marriage normally start out in the book of Ephesians 5. But God didn't send me there. God sent me to Matthew, a very strange kind of text. But our verse of focus is found in Ephesians 5. So I want you to put your finger in Ephesians 5. That's going to be what we're going to read together as a family. But the text of focus is actually from the book of Matthew, chapter 19. Now, let me set the stage. The Pharisees are setting Jesus up to try to trick him and trap him. So they ask him a loaded question. And we're going to see what that question is. And I'm going to read it for you. And I want you to stand to your feet, if you would, for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read it for you. I'm going to read it from the King James rendering. And this is Jesus himself teaching on marriage. It is a very powerful Corinthian text taught by Jesus himself. And the Bible says in chapter 19, in the book of Matthew, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him. Somebody say a lot of
folk. A lot of folk.
And he healed them there. But this is where our text begins. Beginning at verse 3, you'll find these words. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said to them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? That's a very strange response. They were asking Jesus, is it okay if a man puts away or divorces his wife for any cause at all? And look what he said. Have ye not read? You don't feel it, but it's indignation. It is righteous indignation right there. This made him angry that you would even ask such a foolish question. He goes on to say, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication, and shall marry another committed adultery, and whosoever marries her which is put away doth commit adultery. I'm sorry, I skipped. Satan wanted to get this out. We'll go back. Verse number 4. And he answered them and said, have you not read it, that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
In verse 5, he says, and said, for this cause, this is what I'm trying to get to, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain. Somebody say two. But one flesh. Somebody say one.
One.
What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Now, let me just explain to this. I heard a lot of people talking about, I'm under grace. We don't know what we're talking about. We don't really know what we're talking about. You've got to understand that when you're on the righteousness of grace requires more than the righteousness of the law. Are y'all with me? If I could explain it like this, the law says thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus says, don't lust. And I'm talking about things that will take you to hell. You can go to hell for lusting. You ain't touched nobody. So be very careful when you say, I'm under grace. Grace requires more from us. He said, I didn't come to change the law. I came that the law might be fulfilled. And the law says, don't commit murder. But grace says, don't hate.
don't hate.
All right, Jeff.
Oh, man. I'm trying to paint you a picture here. Yeah. The law does not require as much as grace does.
Mm-hmm.
This didn't satisfy them. So they asked another question. Look at verse number 7. They said to him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? This is Jesus talking. He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered or permitted you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. What he's saying is, before sin came into the world, there was no divorce. Now, what I want you to understand, I'm not trying to condemn the people who have gone through divorce. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
I'm just trying to show you a standard that God set up in the Bible concerning marriage. But it's not about marriage. It's about your relationship with Christ.
Amen.
Did you hear?
Amen.
So it doesn't matter whether you're married or whether you're single. If you're single, you can serve him better.
Amen.
Y'all ain't gonna say
amen.
Because you ain't got to worry about having a home-cooked meal on the table. You can go out and serve the Lord. Come on, somebody. Now, our first focus is found in the book of Ephesians. Those of you who can turn to the book of Ephesians, really quick things to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read this as a family in unison. And this is what we are focusing the theme of these messages on. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. Are y'all listening? If you got the King James rendering for the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, 1, 2, 3, read. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be, and they too shall be one flesh. Verse number 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Paul uses marriage as a metaphor, as a picture of what the relationship is between Christ and his church. So it doesn't matter whether you're married or whether you're not married. If you're believing, you are his bride. We're going to get into it a little bit deeper. Our God and our Father, we thank you now for these critical moments that we encourage us to speak while we are here and attentive. Speak now, God. Use these lips of clay to say what you have to say. You know who's here today. I pray that your word goes forth with the power and potency, that your word warns where I fall short. If I fall short, we pray that the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, will make up the difference, that this message be delivered in its entirety and in its power and your glory. It is through the blessed name of Jesus Christ we pray. Say with me, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And take your seats. The Bible says, bring the blood of no man in this man will lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for us. I want you to pray with me on the topic, the mystery of marriage. Say that with me, the mystery of marriage.
The mystery of marriage.
Mysteries are things that we don't quite understand. But just because we don't understand them, it doesn't make it any less real. We read mystery that are murders. And because no one knows who did it, it's still a murder. Have I got a witness? In order for us to truly understand the relationship of marriage, we must at least go back to the beginning in which it was established. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at verse number 26. Somebody say, get ready. Oh, get ready. Come on, man. Y'all ain't excited enough about this. The book of Genesis chapter 26, you find this word, these words. And God said, let us make man in our image
after our likeness. And I'm going to stop right there. Man was made in the image of God. But notice, please. Up until now, everything that was made was not like God. You follow? The oceans were not like him. They resembled him because they moved. The air was not like him. It resembled him because it was the expanse of space. But it was not him. When he decided to put a portrait of himself on earth, he made marriage. Now, I want you to challenge your thinking just for a moment. This, when he says this, and God said, let us, that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. All of them had a hand in making man. That's why he said, let us. Somebody say us. And I teach you a thing. It says, let us make man. But notice this, it's not man being male. He's talking about a brand new species. He's talking about mankind. Y'all hear me? Something that he had never created before. He said, I'm going to make it to look like me. And I'm going to make it in our image. Somebody say our. So what he was making, he had to look like God, had to look like Jesus, had to look like the Holy Spirit. Help me, somebody. Amen. Can we go look at people? So the Bible says in verse 27, so God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. Somebody say them.
Yeah.
Something's changed. Don't let me lose you. What God made was not a man. He made mankind that was both male and female. Adam was both male and female. Oh, y'all looking at me mighty strange. Does not the text say, may he male and female, may he them? Well, the Bible says, how can it be a them if they're still alone? Look at that word alone, all one.
All right, that all.
Yeah, I'll have some of y'all over there. Come on with me. Let's go back to this text. Well, you got to get this. Because this thing don't make sense. So God created mankind. Somebody say mankind. In his own image. That is Adam. Somebody say Adam.
Adam.
That's Adam. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Adam was both male and female.
Amen.
Now what does that look like? I have no idea. But what I do know, there was a season in which Adam was both male and female, and he functioned all one or all by himself. Somebody say all one.
All one.
Alone. Now why is this for the singles? You can't learn how to be with somebody else until you learn how to be with yourself. You can't love nobody else until you learn how to love yourself. Somebody say, all one. He functioned alone for a season. It's right there in the Word. So he was both male and female. And the Bible says that God, up until this point, everything he made was good. The morning, evening, and the first day, it was good. The morning, evening, and the second day, it was good. The morning, evening, and the third day, it was good. The morning, evening, and the fourth day, it was good. The morning, evening, and the fifth day, it was good. The morning, evening, and the sixth day, it was good and very good. I can read it for yourself.
Amen.
And then on the seventh day, he what? Rested from his labor. We know sin came up and messed up that rest. The Bible says, Up until this point, everything he had made, this is the first indication that what he had made, something about it was not right. Look at verse number 18, and the Lord said, it is not good. Wait a minute. How can what God made not be good? But he said it himself, and I know he can't lie. He said, it's not good that man should be all one. Somebody say, alone. He said, I'm going to make him a helpmeet. And look what he started making. Somebody thought that woman can come. Woman can come on the scene right then. Next verse says, and the Lord from the ground. Somebody say from the ground. What you don't understand is that God by himself is complete. Everything that God needed to make, when he determined that he wanted to have a child, he didn't have to go nowhere. This superposes that if I'm male, there is something about me that's incomplete. The only reason that I am male is the only reason that she's female and not male because it suggests that she is incomplete. I'm incomplete, apart from her. But when we get together, we're one. So God is not a man that he should lie. Why? Because he's not a man. If he made mankind in his own image, both male and female, that suggests that I am incomplete in and of myself because I'm just a man.
I'm
going somewhere. That is the mystery culminating into oneness. So now I want to make an exact replica of myself, so I'm going to make a husband and a wife. Not a man and a woman. What you must need to know is Adam and Eve did not live in sin. God married them. Now, we're getting back to that initial question, is it all right to divorce? What made Jesus so angry is when he was asking him, is it all right for God to divorce Jesus? Is it all right for Jesus to divorce the Holy Spirit? These things cannot be. Marriage is a picture of God. We are two separate individuals with two separate minds. We're individuals. We're one.
Yeah.
I heard that in my spirit. I feel like God. I'm talking to the smart theologians in here. God is one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I heard that in my spirit. Y'all ain't but two. The devil is a lie. We're three because we pray every day. We invite God into it. If you're not praying in your marriage, a part of your marriage is either dead or dying. When we pray, it doesn't necessarily matter what we say, we're inviting God into it. We are a picture of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are totally individuals.
Amen.
But they're one.
Amen.
Here's the mystery. In the marriage, we are both equal.
Amen.
See, that's where you have a problem.
Amen, Pastor.
I'm talking to men. You think you're better than her. You ain't.
Amen, Pastor.
You think that you're smarter than her. You ain't.
Amen.
If God made man to help me, that means we need help. So time out. You thinking you can go on by yourself. No, I need her. Because she completes me. We need God in the relationship for it to work.
Amen.
We pray every day.
Amen.
Inviting God into the midst.
Yes.
I hope this is helping somebody. The mystery is, how can we be one and I believe? The world says that if you're a leader, you're better. The world says if you're a leader, you're smarter. You're stronger. That's not in the ecology of God. God says all a leader means is order. Everything must be done decently and in order. Somebody say order. God's order will always be established and maintained. And when you get out of gospel's order, that's when it ruins everything. Well, let's go back to the fall. Everybody want to blame Eve. No, you can't blame Eve because when the instructions were given, Eve wasn't around.
All right, Pastor.
Don't eat of this tree, Adam. He didn't say nothing about Eve. He gave instructions to Adam. So, man, if your marriage don't work, it's your fault. When sin came into the world, he did not come looking for Eve. He said, Adam, what do you have? So, it's time out for me trying to boast that I'm the leader of the family. I'm the leader of the family because God made me leader. Not because I'm smarter, not because I'm wiser, but because God has established order. Sin came into the world. Let me tell you, my responsibility is to protect her.
Amen.
I'm her bodyguard.
That's right.
Y'all ain't never seen bodyguard. You mess with her. You ain't seen bodyguard. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what they look like. Don't mess with them. They ain't got to deal with me. Just because I'm a preacher. I ain't finished with it yet. But I'm also a provider. Somebody say provider. I'm talking to you now, woman. You the one that let you stay up in your house and not work. Are you going to get fucked right here? The man is the provider. He's the one that's supposed to go out and bring home the baby. Could you do it, Levi? You know, just because I bring it home and she don't want to cook, I got to cook. Why? Because I'm leader. I'm responsible for making this thing work. Somebody say provider. The marriage, the first marriage, got out of gospel order when Eve gave to her husband. She became provider. Oh, somebody, that's out of gospel order. In other words, she started to take Adam's role. What we're going to find out in this series of messages is that marriage is about roles. Somebody say roles. Marriage is about lane. Finding where your lane is, getting in it, and staying in it. The problem with a lot of marriages is we want to be control of everything. I want to get over here in my lane a little while, and he ain't doing it right, I'm going to get in here in his lane. And then we got some men that when she get in your lane, you don't say nothing. Oh, you don't get quiet right here. Let me get quiet right here because she's here. But as for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. When she gets in my lane, I'm going to let her know that's my lane. And you can best believe when I get in her lane, she lets me know that's my lane. And when you find that you've got out of your lane, that's what submission is all about. Submission ain't about giving up what I want to give up anyway. A lot of y'all think, I'm submissive. No, you ain't. You didn't want to do it no way. I'm talking to somebody right now. Submission is when I'm going to do something this way, but she want to do it that way. If I submit, that means I'm going to let my way go for her way.
Amen.
And vice versa. Somebody says it's a two-way street. two-way street.
It's a two-way
street. Oh, this is a good thing to preach this sermon, because our youths don't marry the right folk, because they don't see the right folk to marry.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
I lost you right there. No, the first and best teacher is you. The reason her marriage ain't gonna work is because she don't know how to talk to a man. And she don't know how to talk to a man because you don't know how to talk to a man.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody say, "Oh, I know this hurts."
You preach.
No, this hurts. And the reason some guys, can I teach you a thing? We got men and we got boys. There's a difference. Boys like toys. Men love wives. Somebody say, "Are you a toy?" Well, I'm so indignant. Don't mean that just because you ain't a toy man don't mean that you won't want one. I lost somebody. What you mean a toy? Girl, he just playing with you. He ain't never meant to marry you to start with. He just playing with you. Why he playing with us? Boy, play with toys. And if you married a boy, I'm sorry. You chose wrong. But when men go looking for wives, they don't go looking for toys. Can I say it this way? I don't want a toy that's used. Oh, I lost somebody right here. No, when I go to a toy, I want it still in the box.
Yeah.
With the label on it. Taped up. I just lost you right there. Some of y'all got the you lost the tape a long time ago.
Come on, preacher.
But when I go looking for a wife, I don't look for a toy. It's the same kind of concept. When I go and pull something from the shelf, I don't know about you, but I don't want the first one. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. I want that one behind it. What am I saying? I'm saying, I know you think that's the one. It ain't the, it's the next one. That's the one. Y'all hear me? I know you think you see me again on that, that's when you're gonna marry. That ain't the one, it's the next one. Some of y'all made the mistake and married the first one. Don't marry the first thing that you come to.
Amen.
And can I say right here to you single ladies, will you please, for God's sake, stop looking?
Amen.
For me. Stop looking for a man. You got the easiest job in the world. All you got to do is be found. You're great. You're game. All you got to do is be found. Stop looking. The Bible said, the man finds a wife. Find a good thing. What that means is that men, you got to look diligently. Your wife ain't going to be the first one that you come to. Young people, what I'm saying, don't get so involved in your relationships right now. I know that seems like it's so important, but you're going to go through so many. I got some, the young people are smiling anyway. I know this feels serious, but you're going to go through so many relationships until you get to the relationship. If you can just remember that, then your heart won't get broken so many.
Amen.
Amen. Because here, it ain't that we don't have a heart. We got a heart. We got a heart. All right? But we're not going to let you next to it. We're not going to let you near it. We guard, me and guard our hearts. We fix things. All right? What I mean by that, I mean this. We're not going to tell you how we feel.
Amen.
But when we do, you can't hear it because you're trying to tell us what to do. Sometimes you just need to shut up and listen.
Amen.
I don't mean to. Should I say it's a mystery? The mystery is how can we be both equal but not be equal? We got to understand God's order. God's order was maintained way back then. It will never change. Everything must be done decently and in order. So, when God determined that he was going to have a child, he didn't have to go looking for anywhere. He had everything within himself. That's why the Bible says the whole Israel, the Lord our God is one. Right by himself. He don't need nobody. So when he decided to have a child, that's why from the dust, he made Adam. Adam didn't move, but he breathed the breath of life. And the Bible says he became a living soul. So Adam is still by himself, but he's both male and female, and it's good until God said it's not good that he be alone. That was an edict that established relationship. Now we need somebody. Because God says it's not good that we be alone. I'm talking to a single person. You're saying that you don't need nobody because, in fact, you can get nobody. It might sound funny, but I ain't laughing. It's the truth. We all need somebody. We may not need them sexually, but I still need somebody. I need somebody I can talk to. I need somebody I can confide in. I need somebody I can lean on. So we need each other. And how is it that we who call ourselves Christian want to change and influence the world, but we don't want to have a relationship with nobody but the people we choose? That's why we got people in this church been going for years and don't know what to say.
Amen.
That needs to change in 2020. Y'all hear me? That needs to change. How are you going to go to the same church and you not even know their name? Why? Because we have been taught to not engage one another. We should be the most engaging people on God's green earth. You cannot influence until you build a relationship with somebody. I'm talking to you now. When the benediction is said, less than a minute, you out the door. Why? Because you're not here for nobody but yourself. Being Christian means I got to think about somebody other than me. That's why marriages don't work, because we are innately selfish individuals. If it don't concern me, if it doesn't affect me, I don't want no parts of it. Until we change that stinking thinking. I don't know who you are. You go to my church, I'm going to fuck with some men. And you need to know more than just the name. You need to know what some folk are going through. Who is she? I don't know who she is. How does she come in church? That's pitiful. That's why people come to faith, but they don't stay in faith. I thought faith was a loving, caring people. You know, I missed on 3 Sundays, nobody called.
Amen. Amen.
So Adam is still by himself. God decides to have a child. And notice what he did. After all of the animals were made and Adam named him, God said, but there's nobody suitable for Adam. He said, no, you know, that's the birds are nice, all the cats, but there's nobody like Adam. So God puts him to sleep. And this is, you fix it over another level. God puts him to sleep. You would think, why did not God make Eve from the dust of the ground? Remember that Adam was made by God. Adam had everything in himself to reproduce. So he didn't go outside of Adam, he went on the inside of Adam.
All right, Sam.
That's the first surgery right there. Open up the flesh. Took a rib. Somebody say a rib. Notice the proximity of the rib. It is not behind.
That's right.
She should not be walking behind me. Unless there's some trouble. Can I say, get behind me, honey? If anything, hit me first. No. And she is not in front of me. I'm talking to you birch women now.
Breathe.
I heard it. What is a birch woman?
Breathe.
A birch woman is a woman that acts like a man. As for me, butch women find passive me, meaning they can dominate. Shut up! Butch. Person is, are you butch? No. The woman is not supposed to be in front, the woman is beside.
Time out.
Behind every good man. That's a lie straight from the devil. Behind me ain't my wife. Behind me ain't a good woman. Behind me ain't what made me good. She made me good because she's right there beside me. Because we are co-equals in the relationship. The only thing that makes me leader is order. What you have to understand is Paul wrote this whole chapter of Ephesians 5 just to prove one point. He was trying to paint you a picture of Christ and his bride. That's where it really lies. He was trying. Marriage was what he was using as an illustration of the relationship between Christ and his church. If you choose right, single lady, he'll put a ring on it.
Amen.
So that's if you choose right. If you choose right, he's going to be a God-fearing man to start with. God-fearing doesn't mean that he comes to church.
That's right.
The devil comes to church.
Amen.
Matter of fact, if I wanted to fool you, I would start going to church. We don't go to church to get saved. We go to church because we are saved. Church is a response of who I am, not what I'm trying to be. So if he ain't going to church now, just because you married him, he ain't going to church again either. Can I say it right here? Your stuff ain't that good to change it. I know you think you're good. Your stuff can't change his heart. That's a word of the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's got real up in me. When I marry him, when you marry him, he gonna still be him. You gonna still be you. Let's start going to church to try to impress you that they done changed. You know they're real, but you ain't even in the picture. They start going to church. form and operation. And notice this, what I love about it. When he presented the woman to Adam, now, Adam was so fascinated. I can't describe the fascination. He had been looking at donkeys, horses, fish, birds, trees. But when God woke him up from his sleep, I ain't even getting to that. That's a whole different thing. But when God woke him up from the sleep and presented he to him, Lord have mercy. Let me tell you something. If he ain't looking at you like that, don't marry him. I heard that in my spirit. Now put your clothes on. He was not fascinated with her bodily features. He was fascinated because this is somebody like me. That's why he looked at Eve and said, this is bone of my bone. This is flesh of my flesh. Oh, you don't have the excitement in that. He's excited. Somebody for me. Somebody like me. And let me tell you something. If you don't have that kind of joy, that kind of excitement, don't marry. Because let me say this. After a while, the excitement. Lord have mercy. Somebody say it's a mystery. It's a mystery. So he said, when I want to show the world what I look like, I place marriage on the earth. That's why we often say that marriage is ministry, but actually marriage is a portrait of God. When God sees, when the lost people see a marriage, they say, you know, I think I just saw God. How can two so differently form, shape, people be so unified? How can they operate as one? That's why the indignation of Jesus' voice is seen right here. They were really asking him, can God divorce Jesus? Can Jesus divorce the Holy Spirit? He is indignant. How can you even ask such a question? That's why he says, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I just want to end up by saying this. I don't know, married people, raise your hand. Let me tell you what we agreed to. Got to take it back. Let me tell you what we agreed. We agreed to love her, to love him for better or for worse.
Amen.
For richer or for poorer. Y'all with me?
Amen.
In sickness and in health. And we were so stupid we kept right on talking. And we said, until death, do us part. That's what we agreed to. You stop looking so smug. That's what we agreed to. Well, let me tell you why he can't smile too hard. God came to Israel, and this is where I'm going to stop right here. God came to Israel and said, I want y'all to be my people, my model people. I want people to look on y'all, and I want them to know who I am by them looking at you. I want you to be model people. And let me tell you, he said, that comes with benefits. He said, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to provide for you, and I'm going to bless you. Israel said, okay, I'm paraphrasing. What's in it for us? He said, that's what's in it for you. I'm going to protect you from all your enemies. I'm going to provide. You will never have to worry for a thing. I'm going to be your provision. And I'm going to bless you on top of that. I said, okay, what we got to do? He said, you got one thing you got to do. Be perfect. You don't know the implication of perfection.
Well,
all 10 commandments. He said you got to keep every one of them. Keep every one of them.
Well.
Then he said, then you got to do everything in Deuteronomy to the letter. Mm-hmm. Everything in Leviticus. Everything in Numbers. You got to perform it to the letter without mistake. That's your part. Perfection. Somebody say perfection.
Perfection.
And then crazy people said, we'll do it. Yeah, it's in the Old Testament. They said, we can perform it. And then it went on, they said, curse our children if we don't do it. That's what they said. They agreed to something that was impossible. It won't long. It won't long before they came back to God. And that's the whole time I said, that's Old Testament. That's Old Covenant. That's Old Covenant. They came back to God, this ain't working. And God said, okay, look, I'm going to make a new covenant. I'm telling you the Bible right here, this little short 5-minute synopsis. He said, I'm going to make a new covenant because y'all didn't handle the first covenant that well. So he says, I'm going to still be your provider. Now this is God talking. God said, I'm going to still be your provider, and I'm going to be your protector, and on top of that, I'm going to bless you. I'm not going to change. Israel says, what's our part? And God says, I'm going to do it. Or you just missed it. You just missed it. We don't see the Son. We don't have to do nothing but believe. When it came to our part, that is the New Testament. He says, I'm not going to require but one thing, and that is faith through Christ, because all I wanted you to see is that you couldn't be perfect. All I want you to understand is that you can never adhere to the law. That's why the Pharisees said the law says that you could get a divorce. I told you, the dispensation of grace requires so much more than the law. The Pharisees was basing their belief on the law, while Jesus was saying that the covenant is based on grace. And now more of me is required. And now I can't look upon a woman and lust after her.
Amen.
Jesus said, it said a time of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, but I said, it changed everything. He said, but I said, if you even look upon her, to lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You ain't got to touch her. That's what we're called now under the dispensation of grace. It is a high call. And I'm talking to you now. I ain't never murdered no one. Have you ever hated anybody? I can't stand it. I just hate them. You know what? You can go to hell for
talk about it.
This dispensation of grace is no joke. Give it another hand clap. The mystery of marriage. As I said before, it doesn't matter whether you're married or whether you are single. We are, if you are a believer, we are the bride of Christ. We're going to go into that a little bit deeper in these weeks to come. But we are the bride of Christ. What this says is that when he made marriage, he's trying to tell you about the relationship between he and his church. I played a part, listen to this, in my marriage, I played a part of Jesus. My wife plays the part of the bride, the church. The reason that it is so easy for her to submit to me is because I treat her as Christ treated the church.
Amen.
Christ gave his life for the church. He said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve.
Amen.
I'm the servant in the marriage. I'm talking to you men now. Y'all got that retirement. Wait for her to bring you this and to bring you that. That ain't the way it's supposed to be. She's supposed to be in the recliner. Women, y'all ought to say amen.
Amen.
And I'm serving her. And if that's not the case, you chose wrong. And check this out. I did not always know this. I hear it say it like this, you know, before the grace of God, how many people who have gotten divorced? For the grace of God, there goes I. Let's stop saying that. Because what that says, what kind of hope did that leave somebody who has gone through divorce? Do they not also have place for grace? The only reason that I'm still married is grace too, but it's because that woman was patient with me.
Amen.
That's why she was patient with me. I gave her plenty of opportunities to quit. Well, she hung right there. I gave her plenty of time after wrecking 5 or 6 automobiles and totaling them. She could have said, this is enough. But she didn't do it. After my jealousy was so insatiable that I didn't want her talking to another man. But she stayed with me.
Well,
I don't know why. I'm glad she did.
I know that's right, huh?
You're so jealous, he can't talk to nobody. Let me tell you something about jealousy. Jealousy is a reflection of my heart. If I'm jealous of her, the reason I have jealousy is because if I had the opportunity, I would do the same thing. Y'all miss that? Show me a jealous person, I'll show you an insecure person.
Amen.
Amen.
So if he's jealous now, let him go.
Man.
If she's jealous now, let her go.
Yes, sir.
Don't have mercy. We are the bride of Christ, whether we be married or whether we be single. So, for the single person, stop letting the world dictate who you should be. Everybody should be married.
That's right.
Paul said, after she was like me, everyone is not given the gift of celibacy. And that's what that means. That means celibate. If you're going to be by yourself, you've got to be by yourself. Everybody is not like that. Jeremiah was called to be single. Stop letting people put you down because you're single. We're going to reactivate the singles ministry here. And I'm going to teach you. I want to pass it off to someone, but I'm going to teach you. And I heard that. How can you who are married teach singles? I'm glad you asked. Paul was never married. But he taught about marriage. How could he teach about marriage? Because it was not his teaching. He was teaching what God gave him. How can I teach about being single? I'm not going to teach you what I know. I'm going to teach you what the Bible says. But we all the bride of Christ. I'm trying to get you to see that. It's not so much whether we're married or whether we're single. Remember, Jesus was single. And look at the work he did. So in these months and of these weeks to come, I want you to be praying for your pastor that God would lead me. This is just to set the foundation. I hope you learn that Adam was both male and female. So God is not a man. God is not male. All right? Adam walked amongst the world, in the world, amongst the animals in God's creation. In this season, he was both male and female until God says it's not good. And because he was made in his likeness and in his image, God reached on the inside of him. What am I saying? Everything that you need to be is inside of you. He reached on the inside of him and from his real being pulled out. This is a man with a woman. Woman. Y'all still teaching you today. It's a man with a woman. Man. So I want you to get out of thinking of gender so much. Because God is genderless. And if I am a man, What it means is, it suggests that I am incomplete. If you are a woman, it suggests that you are incomplete. All we are called to do, whether we're married or single, is to go back to the state of our originality. From the very beginning, we belong to God. Give God a hand clap of praise. We will extend the Christian invitations.